Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to the McSauce Podcast.
Welcome to episode 336 of the McSauce Podcast. My name is Paul McGinty. With me, as always, are Ian the Sauce Sharpley.
Hello.
And Matt Cassell.
Hello.
It is Monday night, August 24th, and tonight we're going to do a little DC Fandom wrap-up. What is DC Fandom, you ask? It is DC Comics... online comic convention that they had. Funny that I said the word comics twice in that intro, because this really has nothing to do with comics, which we'll get into briefly. I know we can really get into comics and how there's no comics really anymore in DC Comics. But before we dig into DC Fandom and what DC brought us over the weekend, we do housekeeping with Ian Sharpley.
McSauce.com also used to have a lot of comics, but not so much anymore.
We were ahead of the curve.
Sort of like the essence of comics, sort of like the vapor of comics. You can check us out on all of our social medias. You can check us out on Twitter and Facebook, and we have a T Public store, I think, still, that we sell some wares.
We do. I've been in contact with T Public about how we're getting paid and the PayPal complications over the last couple days. Fun stuff. But we do have a bunch of stuff up on T Public under Paul McGinty Design, I think, if you search it, or just search McSauce or McSaucetober.
It would
all the
be
good stuff will come up.
It would be McGinty Studios.
Oh,
is what
there
you
it
have
is.
To
there it is.
You got a lot of different LLCs out there, Paul. So if you type in MCSOSS, you can find what you're looking for. A big fan of ours, Teresa Barker, bought a McSauce mask this week. So not just t-shirts, but masks.
A mask?
As well.
Do we have rubber masks? Oh, that kind.
Not like a gimp mask. She might have bought some other stuff. I don't know.
I was thinking maybe there was like a mask of Paul's face or something, like a Ronald Reagan, but instead it's Paul.
I'd wear it.
We are living in the midst
the
of
end,
a...
The end times.
The end times.
It's okay to say it.
If you're listening to this now, then the reality must have been rebooted at some point, and you're listening to the end of the last simulation. But we are currently going through a worldwide pandemic, and we all are forced to wear masks whenever we go out in public. Why not be snazzy and represent your favorite End Times podcast with the McSauce Silhouettes mask?
A podcast that isn't afraid of the end times. A podcast that sometimes welcomes it.
So check us out as you await the end.
So DC Comics, Warner Media, and AT&T, the big parent company that oversees everything. Barely a week after they did a big house cleaning in the comics arm of DC Comics, they let a lot of longtime editors go. A lot of creatives were laid off. We have DC Fandom.
What better time to celebrate?
What a weird thing. Maybe
we've ruined hundreds of people's lives. Let's party.
Let's put the still remaining people that are the public faces of our company, some of which have been publicly demoted and, you know, set down a peg. Let's have them talk about how excited they are to work for less money for our company.
But it wasn't really that at all, because when it came to the actual comics arm of DC Comics. There wasn't a whole lot of news that came out of DC fandom. DC fandom was just like San Diego Comic-Con has been, which has been, it's like a big ad for movies and TV. Mm-hmm. The actual comics part of San Diego Comic-Con has been, it's kind of been, you know, relegated to the back room for a few years now. And that's kind of what DC fandom was. Before we started recording tonight, we were looking up, oh, well, what, you know, we saw all the big news, Wonder Woman trailer, Suicide Squad featurette, the Batman trailer. But we were like, well, what comic news came out? Like, what's DC Comics doing? Like,
there was nothing about, what's the big thing, the 5Gs or whatever?
I think that
is that Milena Vayntrub is back on the AT&T commercials,
so
which I am thankful for. She's so pretty. That's all I know about 5G. It's funny you mentioned 5G because through all this whole weekend of fandom news, I didn't hear 5G once.
Isn't 5G, won't it melt your brain or hypnotize you or something like that? Or are we thinking about a different 5G?
It's a different 5G. It's the 5G initiative.
Gangsters, goblins, goobers,
goonies,
Goliaths,
it's Generation
goonies.
5. I don't really know what it is, but I guess it was supposed to be the next big thing at DC.
Verizon was like, whoa, wait, what are they doing? Wait, it's just comics?
Since it's AT&T, some like, there was some inner office mail mix-up.
Someone got fired because the comic book company.
They're like, 5G is all right.
So, yeah, I didn't hear anything about 5G. Like, I thought 5G was going to be, like, DC's new.
What did you hear? What did they talk about comics-wise?
From DC fandom?
Yeah.
That they are relaunching the Milestone imprint.
What is that?
That's, I think it was led by Dwayne McDuffie back in the late 90s. It was sort of their... it was their Black imprint. It was a bunch of Black comic book characters. I wasn't reading comics then. The most I saw from the Icon imprint or characters was Static Shock because he had a TV show. He had a cartoon. Icon popped up in a handful of comics I read, but I glossed over, you know, a couple articles podcast I listened to today talked about it, but I'm really unfamiliar with the Milestone stable. But a lot of hardcore comic guys really seem to be into it. It seems to be viable-ish because I feel like they try to reintroduce the Milestone brand every 10 years. They get a handful of issues out of it, and then it disappears again.
Yeah, I never really read any of the Milestone stuff back in the day. I remember it on the newsstand, and I remember Hardware.
Newsstand? What are you, a newsie? It's the 40s?
I was going to Giant Eagle and buying comic books back in the day, so it was a spinner rack.
That's where I bought my first issue, Spider-Man number 12, as you know. Bought it at the bookshelf, the local bookstore. Spinner rack.
So back in the day, whenever the Milestone stuff was out there, you could go to a spinner rack and buy it.
If I'm being totally honest, I didn't actually buy it off the spinner rack. I pulled it off the spinner rack, then hid it under a dictionary for about a week until I had enough money to go back and buy it because I didn't want somebody else to buy it.
You know what? At least you didn't steal it because I thought for sure that's where that story was going, that you bought a dictionary and hid the comic in it. And walked out with the comic book. But you waited. Nothing wrong with that. I've hid plenty of action figures behind, like, Barbies and stuffed animals, only to later go back and pull them out and buy them.
I've done that, too. I did that with the McFarlane Monsters playsets at Toys R Us. So when you guys were cleaning the shelves, you're like, what is... what is Dracula doing in with the Care Bears?
It's funny you think, Matt, while Ian and I worked at Toys R Us, we were so diligent.
Yeah, I was
to
just
pay
like
attention to the back of the shelf.
More stuff to throw in the toy box. So my boss won't see, so we can go home.
So yeah, coming out of DC fandom, no real comic news. Like I thought there, you know, there'd be some. Oh, I guess like the big thing coming is, I don't even know what it's fucking called. It's like Winter's End or Winter's Coming or something about winter. There's gonna be like a big company wide storyline. Somehow winter takes over. I saw a couple different Batman and Wonder Woman like in their winter gear, new costume designs.
Was that talked about at Fandome?
I wasn't logged into Fandome. Like I was just getting stuff would pop up on Twitter and I'd check it out. Like I didn't log in any panels. I didn't pay attention. I got so drunk Saturday afternoon that I wound up sleeping through the early part of the evening. So by the time I woke up, Fandome for the day was over.
Did Fandome
Endless Winter is the name.
Endless
of.
Winter.
How did Fandome start Friday or Saturday?
I think it was just all day Saturday. I think it started
just
like
a one day
11 a.m. Saturday afternoon or late morning, and then went till probably like 9 or 10.
Did you say 1 a.m. Saturday afternoon?
11 a.m. 11 a.m. Saturday afternoon. Yeah, I wasn't, like, I didn't really pay attention to it. I figured I'd get all the news I needed to, just, you know, keeping up with Twitter throughout the day. But no comic stuff. And, like, I didn't even see any big stuff about this Endless Winter. So
yeah, there's not much here to it. I mean, there's a couple articles, and I see the Batman in winter gear make a heck of a toy, I'm sure, and the Wonder Woman in winter gear.
Batman
as well.
In winter gear reminds me of like the old Arctic Blast Batman from like the late Tim Burton Batman toy run, where put him in a scuba suit, put him on the moon, like put him in some other costume, put. You know, all black Batman costume. Make it all in white. Put him in the snow.
I had I think it was an all white Batman, or he was white with some kind of snow camouflage, and that, you know, he would interact in you know, you could only bring him out in the snow time.
You could only bring him out when he was paired up with the G.I. Joe snow guy.
Yeah.
Snowfoot, Snowshoe.
Snow Job.
Is that his name?
Possibly.
Matt, you're a resident G.I. Joe specialist. Snow Job?
Sure. Wasn't there a version of the Joker where if you put his head in cold water, it would change from like white to flesh color?
That's Zartan. Also a G.I. Joe.
Yeah, I guess Zartan did do that, but I swear there was a Joker figure that did something
there may
like
have
that
been.
Too.
Like I don't remember that, but I never got any of those. I think I got the Batman from the 89 toys, but I didn't get. I think I may have. I wound up with a Bob figure, but I never
bought.
Yeah, I never bought Bob the Goon. I think it was like some friend left it, and then I was stuck with it.
I had all of those, dude. They repackaged. Superpowers figures. They repackaged the Penguin and Robin with like Batman 89 packaging, but I assure you, they were not in that movie.
Mm-hmm. I can't find this flesh colored color change. That sounds like a gimmick that they would have used. The only one that I can find is the Toy Biz Joker figure with squirting orchid.
Oh, another water enhanced action figure. Some of the best action figures were water enhanced, let me tell you.
Can you name more?
What was the He-Man one that shot?
Cobra Khan.
Obviously, water squirting Joker. Zartan, as we
so
discussed
was
before.
It with Zartan, was it water? I thought it was heat.
Maybe it was. Yeah, I don't know.
If you
it
rubbed
was
his face, it turned.
I don't know. Those were battle beasts.
But I think Zartan had a similar chemical reaction.
I think
Zartan was water.
I think Zartan was water. I don't think it was you fucking rub his face
with your dick. <And it's...
laughs> I don't
give a fucking Indian burn. Can we say that anymore? Native American burn? When you rub your palms on something? I don't remember touching Zartan's face and making it change color. But I'm also not confident in what exactly made Zartan's face change color at this point.
And didn't his face change color into something?
It was like blue.
Ungodly.
It just, yeah,
yeah.
Like,
it was some weird,
freakishly
like,
blue,
purpley.
Gee,
color.
I wonder why it's blue. Because I just had his face in ice water.
Did you Google how to make Zartan's face change?
I'm currently doing research.
What was Zartan's quote unquote power? Is it like
he was a master of disguise? He also had the action figure came with like a fake face. So it not only turned blue with cold water, but there was also another face you could put over top that like you could wedge in there under his hood.
I don't remember the fake face.
Oh, the fake face.
But again, I'm no G.I. Joe master.
It's saying that it was a temperature thing that changed him from blue to his
water temperature thing.
It's not saying
if you sprayed him with Cobra Khan, would his face change color?
It's the compound was color change based on temperature, similar to mood rings. So
it sounds like you could rub it.
So I'm thinking it's the rub a dub dub with Zartan.
I don't remember that, but all right. So DC's fandom didn't release
any
kind of water-based rub-based toy. Like you don't need to get anything
water
hot.
Or rub-based.
You're not really rubbing down any comic book to get it to change color. Boy, what a 90s gimmick that could have been.
I'm sure there was something that was rub-based in the 90s.
So, the three of us, none of us right now are big comic book readers. Like, we've all taken considerable steps back. So, like, I don't think a lack of comic book news was all that detrimental to what we learned from fandom this weekend. We're like, oh, no comic book stuff. I'm not getting any of that anyway.
It wasn't surprising. I'm sure if there was something that all of us would have been interested in, it could have piqued our comic buying interest, but there really wasn't anything for us to... That's not what DC's in the business of doing anymore, really.
Yeah, yeah. I expected there to be something, like, even, like, something, like, late, or, like, some panel that sneaked through, like, oh, here's what, you know,
Jim Lee
Bendis is doing, or what
would
Jim Lee is doing. But I think Jim Lee had like a Q&A panel, and like he did like on site like
maybe
art classes and stuff. But it wasn't like, hey, here's the new Justice League book.
Yeah, maybe. I jumped on his Twitch on Sunday just to see if he would say anything or talk about any comics, and it didn't seem like anything like that was going on. He was just finishing up a drawing and just kind of, hey, thanks for everybody for stopping in fandom, and no real wrap up or news or anything.
Perhaps it's because the fact that they had all those cuts recently, now really wasn't a time to, like, legitimately, now wasn't a time, at least on the comic side of things, to celebrate anything.
Yeah.
Let's just get through this, and maybe next year we'll have some shit to talk about, but not now, not this year.
It seems like such a poorly thought out corporate strategy to take the wind out of the sails of, because you're promoting DC. You're promoting the foundation to all these TV shows and movies and video games. You're promoting that.
Well, certainly this was planned way before anybody had any idea that everybody was about to lose their job.
Yeah.
So the people that planned it didn't know that bad things were gonna come.
Yeah, but like their corporate masters probably should have. Maybe if, do you think that it would have mattered if they would have waited a month or something?
I feel like that might even be a worse look.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, when's the good time to fire people?
Fridays, usually.
Yeah, right. Less chance of an incident.
Absolutely.
Have you ever been fired, Ian?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes. Many times.
Has it happened on a Friday?
I'm trying to think back to all my firings. I don't think so. Not on a Friday.
You've never been fired on a Friday, so I assume there was an incident then. Has there ever been an incident?
No. I quit in a ball of fury.
That was at the printing place.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, and it was over the phone, so I guess it wasn't.
Oh,
that
I thought
furious.
That was in person.
No, I was coming back from a successful job interview, and I was going to be late to my job, and I was calling to tell them that I was going to be late, and I started getting bitched out on the phone, and I was only going to be a half an hour late. It's printing. It's not the end of the world. And at that moment, it just snapped, and I was like, you know what? And it's not even that I was guaranteed the job.
Did you get the job?
I did get the job. Okay. I didn't like it very much, and I only lasted a couple of months at that place. But I was so fed up with being at this printing company, and the guy that I was working for was pretty abusive. So on the phone, I just kind of snapped and told him what I thought of him and never went back again. But it wasn't on a Friday. I think it was on a Tuesday.
Okay. So I assume, that sounds like a pretty intense incident. Had he waited, or had you waited until Friday to do that, I'm sure it would have been less of an incident.
Why is Friday the crux of...
Well, because I think people are happier because it's Friday. It's the weekend. Although, every day is the weekend for you now, bitch. So I don't know. I don't know what the logic there is.
Yeah, it just seems like it was poorly thought out by the people that were doing the firing, taking the wind out of the sails of the old fandom, or the wind out of the dome of the old fandom.
Well, it seems like it was mostly comic book people that were casualties, and this was clearly not a comic book event.
Mm-hmm.
It was, however, Paul, a movie event, of which there was a lot of movie talk and video game talk.
Oh, yeah. There wasn't even... I think there was probably less TV talk than there was comic book talk. Like, I think there were a couple panels with, like, a lot of the CW stars. I know there was a diversity in comic media panel with a lot of the CW actors. But as far as, hey, here's some cool DC TV stuff going on, there wasn't even HBO Max. I figured there'd be something for the Harley Quinn animated show, because that's huge. I figured there'd be maybe some Doom Patrol thing. But yeah, like everything took a backseat to three movies and a video game. So it should have been like DC fan... fan movies and two video games. Oh,
yeah.
the Suicide Squad game.
Yeah.
I didn't pay any attention to the Suicide Squad game. I think it's the Suicide Squad versus the Justice League, right? They have to go fight them or Superman or one of either.
Yeah,
or.
I isn't it called Justice League or Suicide Squad kills the Justice League or
something like that? And the poster is Superman with his back to
Harley Quinn.
Somebody putting a target on his brain.
But how stupid is this? It's like the Suicide Squad is supposed to be a team of bad guys, of which it just isn't anymore. They're just like likable misfits.
This role reversal, I just started watching The Boys. Like, this role reversal makes me like Homelander and makes me want the bad version of Superman and all of these incarnations of the comics and cartoons to, yeah, I'm fucking on board with fucking Red Sun.
You're really not
burn,
supposed to use like
your, use your fucking eyes and burn out all of their fucking skulls immediately.
Well,
what are you fucking waiting
in,
for?
In the new Suicide Squad game, Superman's evil. So it's just not
That's
interesting.
Really dumb.
It's right because now I'm the good guy and I have to go kill the bad guy. Why can't I be a bad guy and do bad things in this video game?
Well, now you're the bad guy, but you're the it's like you're the good guy.
Exactly. It's like, well, I didn't heat vision a helicopter pilot to death the way Superman just did, so I guess I'm not that bad after all, am I?
Yeah, this should be Grand Theft Auto with the Suicide Squad characters looking out for the law, which is Green Lantern or Superman or Wonder Woman.
Right.
That would be interesting. You can be a bad guy because that's what they are.
You make this, like, make Metropolis open world and you can go and do really bad things in this game with superpowers, but you got to look out for Superman and his friends.
Yeah, don't get too bad or you might get fucking nuked.
Right. That is really cool and interesting, but suddenly it's like, nah, not really. Although this game is made by Rocksteady, they have made all the best of those Batman games.
Man, I cannot separate the name Rocksteady from the Ninja Turtles villain. Can't do it.
Well, did you hear that the
Bebop Productions?
Gotham Knights is made by Bebop.
Oh, is it?
No, yeah. It's made by WB Montreal, but I had you going.
Wee.
So the Rocksteady development team is like the top tier team, whereas the Montreal team is kind of like the B team. So the Gotham Knights game, the premise looks really cool, except for Red Hood. He sucks. But the premise is cool, but it's made by kind of their not as good studio. And it's also being developed for the next-gen systems as well as the current-gen systems. But the Suicide Squad game is being made for the next-gen systems specifically. So maybe like it'll feel a little bit more advanced. I don't know. But it'll probably be the better playing game just based on the track record of the two studios. The Montreal studio did Arkham Origins. Do you guys remember that one?
Yeah, I remember it vaguely.
It was just another one of those Arkham Knight games, which are all very good, but this studio took all the assets that Rocksteady had created and applied it to their own storyline. I think it took place on Christmas Eve or something. So it was Gotham in the winter and snow and all that. It kind of looks like that new Miles Morales game, really, that's coming out. That takes place like around Christmas also. Anyway.
Yeah, not being a video game guy, I'm not going to get or play either of these games. I didn't even see anything about the Suicide Squad game other than like they're fighting Superman. But I kind of like what I've seen from Gotham Knights. I like that we're taking Batman out. We're using a broader range of heroes. I don't need Jason Todd or Red Hood. If I was king of DC, I would. He may be the first character. Maybe second. First, Damian Wayne. I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Damian Wayne for me is out. Number two, Red Hood. Too many crappy Batman characters. But yeah, like get fucking Jason Todd's Red Hood out of there. And
I'd put Batgirl back in the wheelchair too. By the way,
who would be
Batgirl?
She won't be that fun to play in the Gotham Knights game. Just kind of wheeling around. Although
if you put like the Tony Hawk engine behind,
right? She does like tricks, goes up off ramps and stuff. That's awesome.
Batgirl pro skater.
I like it.
So if you're taking Barbara out of Batgirl, who is Batgirl?
What was the girl's name that dressed like all like had her face completely covered?
Cassandra Cain.
Yeah, that would be my Batgirl.
Yeah, I I liked Cassandra Cain too. I thought she was.
I liked Barbara Gordon.
I liked her because she had that like all black costume. It kind of looked like
Catwoman a little.
Yeah, it looked like Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman, but it was all just like head to toe, like black stitch work.
And she was such a like a fucking badass.
Yeah,
kind of like Damian Wayne, but likable.
And I didn't, speaking of Damian Wayne, I didn't dig into anything more than the trailer of this Gotham Knights game, but I would like to go in playing this thinking, oh, this is Tim Drake in Damian's costume.
It is Tim Drake.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
There is no Damian Wayne in this.
That's great. Warms my heart, because Damian Wayne, pointless character.
Yeah, I agreed. I like the way this looks because I'm not really sure. It seems like Batgirl has the same kind of weapons that Nightwing has. So they're probably going to...
sticks.
Right, so they're going to play probably similarly, but then Robin has the staff and Red Hood
has guns.
So they're all going to at least play different. So, you know, it'll be fun in different ways with the different characters.
Very much like Super Mario 2,
where yeah,
yeah, the princess, you know, floats along, much like Batgirl floats along
with
the cape.
Tim Drake is slow, but he lifts things really fast.
Yeah, you know what,
Tim's got a lot of lower body strength.
Yeah,
he's got big old thick thighs.
He can get carrots out of the ground nimbly.
And like,
whereas Nightwing jumps up in the air and he gets a couple, he kicks his little feet and he gets some extra height.
I've never wanted to do anything in Gotham City but pull carrots from the ground.
It's
pull carrots out of Centennial Park
and then throw them at the Joker's henchmen and watch them flip upside down and fall through the ground.
Did they do that?
The
in
characters
two?
In Dreamland in yeah. Mario 2, they like would flip upside down. And
oh,
I feel like through this whole Gotham Knights section, we should be playing the music from Super Mario Brothers 2.
Would that make the game better if they play Super Mario Brothers 2 music over it? Can we recut that trailer with that music?
So Barbara can roll up and she can grab a potion out of the ground and throw it down, and then magically she's out of the chair.
Oh, but only for like 30 seconds.
Or, well, that would be if she grabbed a hopping star, then she would flash and jump right up.
Oh. Was there anything else about these video games you wanted to talk about, Paul? Or do you want to move into the movie section?
I'm very interested in Super Gotham Land. I'm just saying.
Super Gotham Land 2.
No, my closing comments on the games. The games always look neat. I feel like they always carry a good sensibility of Batman from the comics and who the characters are. And, like, I feel like they've honored the source material more than movies or other media has. But not being a video game guy, like not all that interested. So, we got a lot of movie stuff. We got some trailers. We got some featurettes. We got a roll call. We got a surprise, Zoom guest from Sinbad on the Shazam panel. Seems like Sinbad is going to be, he's going to have some part in Shazam 2, Fury of the Gods. What upsets me is that by the time we do Shazam 2, all those kids are going to be fucking adults. Like, this
right,
is not...
Billy Batson's going to be Mr. Batson.
Quarantine is not the time to have... To be like, they should have tried to roll these out. Boom, boom, boom. Like, have these
Lord
kids
of the Rings,
be young.
Film
right.
them all together.
Because by the time these kids come back, like, yeah, it's going to be some CW shit where you have a 26-year-old that has to shave twice a day because his hair is so strong, trying to play a fucking 15-year-old.
Wait. Like facial hair? Is that what you're talking about? Okay. Yeah.
Or if you want to go way back, you know, like Jason Priestley or Luke Perry trying to play high schoolers in 90210 when they're like, Luke Perry's hairline abandoned him 10 years before he started 90210. And like, that's what Jack Dylan Grazer and these Shazam kids are going to look like by the time they get to film again. They're going to be so old. But I like Shazam. I thought it was a lot of fun. I like that they really went for the horror stuff, even though it kind of created an uneven tone for some of the film.
I think that's part of what I find endearing about it.
Me too. I like Shazam. I like Shazam a lot. I think it really kind of went for it.
Yeah.
There was no Black Adam video, but there was some Jim Lee drawing of Dwayne Johnson in the Black Adam costume.
It's as close to comics as we got.
Seemingly fighting some randos. And yeah, that is exciting.
Isn't it crazy?
There's some concept art.
Right. We get concept art for this movie, for The Rock playing this character, when it was announced he was going to be this character probably before we ever even started this podcast. It's been forever. And this is all we have to this point?
Yeah.
This is insane.
We know, well, from what The Rock said, we're going to see the JSA in it. I think like Sandman, Hawkman, Dr. Fate, they're going to be cast. Noah Centineo is already Adam Smasher. So I think this is going to take place in the 30s. I think this is going to be, my guess is the idea is that this is a period piece from the 30s, early 40s. But, you know, Black Adam is ageless, so at some point they'll roll him into Shazam 3?
He's ageless, unlike the children from Shazam.
Yeah, I feel like that was the plan going in. But for this Black Adam movie, there was a hint that Superman may be the bad guy, but I think it's
he's always the bad guy now.
I think Jesus, it's probably going to be like Black Adam versus the JSA. Or they're going to have to team up to fight maybe like Brainiac's first appearance.
Maybe Black Adam is good. But then somewhere along the way, by the time we get to Shazam 3, then he'll be the villain.
If I didn't listen to so many podcasts about Fast and the Furious and know that The Rock refuses to be a hint of a bad guy in anything, I would say, yeah, he'll probably be a bad guy at some point. But The Rock has an image to uphold. He likes being the good guy. So, like, he's going to make sure Black Adam, who I've seen in comic books, like, smash a man's head into just peanut butter. I don't think we're going to see that from The Rock's Black Adam.
It'll just be,
I think he's going to be
The Rock smashing a sandwich into peanut butter.
Right.
He's going to be, at best, like, a 10% gray villain. But we didn't get we got that's all we got. We're still running on Black Adam speculation,
concept art.
But we got the trailer too for Wonder Woman.
Well, wait, we also got some other concept art of the new Flash movie.
We did.
What's significant about that concept art, Paul?
That
two things.
That Michael Keaton's Batman costume is in it.
Yes. Featured rather prominently. It's very clear who that is.
Yes, and the other thing we learned is that Ben Affleck will be in the Flashpoint, the
two
Ezra
Batmans.
Miller Flashpoint movie. So it seems we're already guaranteed Michael Keaton and Ben Affleck Batman.
In the same movie.
In the same movie. And I'm kind of happy about this. Like, I like Michael Keaton. I like him as Batman. I really like Ben Affleck's Batman. I think he got short shrift. I think he's a good Batman in a bad movie. Same as Henry Cavill is a good Superman in bad movies. Maybe this'll be the thing to finally pull it all together. But unfortunately, I hate Ezra Miller's Flash. The thing bringing these two good characters together are something I hate with every fiber of my being.
They fixed his costume.
Seemingly. But I can't really tell from that concept art if he is all red or if he's red with black like seams and like black patches. I hope it's all red. Just let it all be fucking red. No armor, no wires, just fucking red bodysuit.
Well, it looks like it's got lines of gold running through it.
Well, yeah. Let the lightning run through it. That's fine. That's cool. But no armor, no like wires undercutting the Flash logo and on the chest. Just make it clean and classic. And that will go a long way toward bringing me along on the Ezra Miller ride. He's been kind of pulling me along because he's amped for this. I think he really likes being this character. He really wants to do this. He's bought in himself. And I appreciate when an actor is like, hey, I'm really into this. I really want to do it. Like that pulls me along throughout the whole process.
Through blind hatred and rage.
Ian, like, do you think it looks like it's going to be a good-looking costume?
It's very hard to tell. It's crouching. It's dark. It's a better shot at the costume than what we got in the Justice League and Batman versus Superman movie.
It looks a lot better than that.
The other thing was just, it was clunky. It was metallic looking. I don't think that a character based on speed should have those kind of things going on. It should be somebody that is free to run and use his powers to the best of his ability. So this looks cool. This art's cool. I'm excited for Michael Keaton and Ben Affleck to do their Batman thing in this movie. I wish this movie didn't have the Flash in it, basically.
Just be like Batpoint. That's what I want. Just give me like pull the Brinks truck up to Christian Bale's house. Just make it all the Batmans together. Like, so, do what you got to do.
Batmania.
So next year for Fandom 2, we're going to have the trailer for this probably.
At this point, I feel like, and I know that we won't, but I just want the movie to come out. Maybe it's my lack of movies. I feel like I haven't seen a movie since...
What?
Since Bad Boys 3.
Yeah.
Which that's probably right. I think that was maybe the last movie that I went to see.
I actually don't
remember. Probably the still reigning box office champion, right?
Yeah, I think Bad Boys 3 was the last one I saw. But like there's still like the Wonder Woman trailers, it's like only in theaters. And I'm like,
are you sure?
Right. I'm like, are you sure? Are you sure? Like, when are you going to fucking back off and be like, oh, okay, it's on HBO Max now. You need to pay $30, but it's on HBO Max. Like, I'm not going to a theater to see anything until, like, there's, like, I don't know what would have to come out in 2020 for me to go to a fucking theater.
So this weekend, Tenet, Or this upcoming week, Tenet's supposed to hit theaters.
Oh, they finally decided.
Yeah, you can do advanced screenings. My wife looked up. You can get some kind of private advanced screening. I don't know how much that shit would cost, but
$1,000.
Either of you seen the trailer for Tenet? Or there is an extended.
Yeah, it looks like Inception with the black guy.
It looks really cool. I like Inception. I like black guys. They got me. Is this movie just for me?
Denzel's
son.
I don't think I've seen the trailer for it.
Mm-hmm. Is it John Washington?
Yeah. They got you? They might have you.
No.
Let's go to this private screening together,
guys.
I'm
not going to the fucking theater. Jesus Christ.
But anyway, outside of that movie looked really cool, but outside of that, I don't see any film getting me into the theaters anytime soon.
What
I value my life.
Do you think Wonder Woman looks good?
Yeah, it looks good. I don't think that that's hitting the theaters this year, is it? Or did they
October,
say it was?
Right?
They're going to back off that.
Well,
Tenet's not backing off 7 days from now.
I don't know, man. I don't know if they'll back off or not.
Well, they pushed Tenet back 2 or 3 times at this point.
But Tenet's had enough. Chris Nolan has had enough. He's a cinemateur.
Is that
how,
a real
how
thing?
How dare you? How dare you not let Christopher Nolan put his movie in the theater? In the
cinemateur. A cinemateur sounds like a centaur. So half horse, half movie reel. Terrifying.
I mean, have any of us seen Chris Nolan from the waist down? Maybe he's just movie reel.
Possibly, and horse.
His front legs are reels. His back legs are horse legs.
This is frightening stuff. I'd go to the theater to see this fall, the cinemateur.
I would pay to go to the Freak Show Circus to see Chris Nolan, the cinemateur. That's the only way you're getting me into a theater. Like, I don't need to see Tenet. I don't need to see Wonder Woman in the theater. As much as I love Anya Taylor-Joy, I'm not going to see New Mutants when it maybe or maybe not comes out. Like,
isn't it supposed to be out now or something?
I'll tell you what. If it finally comes out, I'm going to laugh so hard at it.
They're kind of like, we're going to kill all the fans that wanted this movie right in the theater. Here you go.
Like,
we don't
so,
want your money.
Oh, my God.
We want your death.
I keep playing hockey every week, and, like, I'm around, like, a bunch of, like, close proximity, no mask dudes, like, on a weekly basis. So going to a theater, like, I shouldn't be
now
like,
you
oh,
tell us.
How dare I not go to a theater? I'm not going to a theater. I feel like, yeah, whatever. I'm, you know, already rolling the dice. But I don't know, man. Like, I feel like, I don't know, I have no desire to go to a
You definitely have more
point.
Of a chance of catching something going around, as you put it, unmasked dudes.
Maskless
men breathing on you every Sunday.
Very
close proximity.
Sometimes twice a day.
We don't. Yeah,
you definitely would get sick with that.
Enclosed space, no masks,
hot.
All up on each other's hot, sweaty bodies.
Ian, you and I are going to have to do this podcast without him.
We're going to rename it The Cinemateur.
We're a good 6 feet apart when we record.
I think the new Wonder Woman looked good except for one big fat problem that, in my opinion, is going to hurt this movie and its predecessor as a result.
Steve Trevor?
There you go.
Really?
Yeah.
I think there's a storytelling device that explains why he's back and it's going to work.
I don't think it's going to work because it's stupid. And it completely strips the first movie of any kind of emotional weight to his death, which was really well done. And from what I can tell so far, they've included him so that way they can have some really good zingers. A man out of time.
Well, I think they included him because they were like, oh my God, he's really good. Put him in this movie.
I think they included him because they were like, we got you for 3 of these, pal.
Yeah, they were like, this guy's fucking great. Put him in this
fucking bad. It makes no sense. It's obvious that that's why. Not because it's going to help the story, but because he was good in the first one. That's why it meant something when he died. And to bring him back is bullshit. It hurts the first one. It makes me less interested in the new one. And it's such a disappointment that they couldn't give her a new love interest or something. And not only that, but like she was affected by his death in the Justice League from, you know, his death that happened in the fucking 40s, not maybe he dies again in 1984. I'm sure he won't this time. But she's like, she's reminiscing about him from the 40s in the Justice League movie, but wait a minute, why are you doing that? He was just with you back in 1984.
Hold on. Maybe in the Snyder Cut, she's not reminiscing from the 40s anymore. Maybe that scene's taken out. And in this one, she's like,
jangly replaced Polaroid.
I had to leave Steve back home because he's not up for this task
Steve
anymore.
Steve in like this banging windbreaker, members only jacket.
I don't care that he died in the first one. He's back in this one. I love Chris Pine. He's a fucking treasure in anything that he's in. Like, I fucking love Chris Pine. I was so mad.
Fuck
when
Chris
they
Pine.
Him
he
in the
he
first
fake
one.
Dies in everything.
I don't give a shit. I love these back. The biggest question mark I have from this Wonder Woman trailer is, man, is that full on cheetah outfit gonna work the whole time? We saw. I mean, none of us saw it, but like Cats came out last December. Like, I want it to be, like, kind of scary and kind of threatening.
Well, Cats was kind of scary.
Like, in this trailer, it's kind of like, oh, we don't really get to see it. Like, I love the idea of pulling full-on just cat woman cheetah costume from the comics to the screen. But this is one of those places where I'm like, oh, does it work? Does it work? Can you do this? King Shark seems to work. As we'll get into when we talk a little Suicide Squad in a minute, but I don't know.
Don't know. We'll have to watch Cats to figure it out. If the technology has caught up with our cat imagination.
Our catinations.
You want it to work together as one word, but it just kind of doesn't.
So hard. It's so hard.
Much like the CG likely will work.
Yeah. Wonder Woman looks cool. Like I'm not going to go see it in the theater when it comes out.
Let me ask you this, Paul. Why don't you lay some polynomics on me for this one? I'm bringing it back. It's been a minute since we've done polynomics for anything, Ian.
We haven't had much to look forward to. We could have done polynomics on how long we were going to be quarantined, I guess. Why didn't
we
do
that?
Let's
see, how excited am I about this? Paul, let me ask you this. What, on a 10-point scale, what would you say your excitement for the new Wonder Woman is?
I would say my excitement is... my excitement is a 6.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the first two acts of the first movie were spectacular. And then it all fell apart.
When they killed Steve Trevor.
Part of, like, they kill Steve Trevor, they have the big fight. Like, the whole third act is kind of like, oh, this is all kind of bad. So, give me a Steve Trevor redo. The killing Steve Trevor, bring him back, that doesn't affect me too much. Like, yeah, my excitement or expectation.
I asked your excitement.
Yeah, my excitement is a six.
And what as would... we all know, there's a second portion to polynomics.
Right. Which when you multiply it by the overall excitement and then you divide that by
the square root of
72, then
which
that,
is the multiple universes that McSauce exists in.
Right. And then you take that figure and apply it. That's what your polynomics then is.
Right.
So what is your excitement? We'll let the fans do the math once we give them these two numbers.
I think like my excitement's an 8. Like I like Gal Gadot.
You sound
like
an 8 there.
I like Chris Pine. It is like, you know, I'm excited to see it when I get to see it.
No, okay, but now you're conflating excitement and expectation.
Because an 8 is, to me, I will definitely go to the theater where I have less chance of contracting the virus than
all right.
There's this chance that you're going to die to go see the movie. I love that. That's the world that we live in.
That's the bar. Right. Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's been a while. The first was expectation.
No, the first, no, was, first excitement, was excitement. And you gave it a 6.
A 6, yeah. My expectation
is an 8, you say.
No, my expectation's probably, I'll give it a 7.
Wait, where did the 8 come from?
I fucked up.
Wait. Your expectation is a 6.
Yes.
And then your excitement is...
His excitement was 6. First. That's a 6.
But then he
my
said...
My expectation
he...
is a 7.
But first he said his expectation was going to be an 8 or something. But then he started referring to it as his excitement.
Exactly. Because it's been a while, but my
I'm spent.
Excitement... is a 6. My expectation
is a 7.
Is a 7.
Okay. Ian, why don't you go next? Hopefully
I don't
faster.
Know if I can follow this, my excitement is a 6, and my expectation also is a 7. I'll fall in line with. I think it's going to be a little bit better than how much I'm excited.
Yeah, I think it's going to fall under like, yeah, pretty cool.
I think that I'll probably like this better than. I don't know. Maybe there's a chance I could like it better than the first one because the third act with a muscular David Thewlis was really weird. Because
he's not.
He's not, and it was just shitty. That end battle one of the worst end battles out there.
A lot of superhero movies are guilty of that. Like, good movies... Black Panther, good movie, and then horrible finale with the CGI fight at the end. Like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, it felt like this is how we made superhero movies in the early
2000s. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Both of those films feel very similar with that.
With the ending. But the rest is good. The rest is unique and entertaining and well done. But then the ending has that ridiculous CGI fight, video game fight.
Yep.
More like Wonder Woman Knights.
What's your expectation?
Oh, you want me to go in reverse?
Excitement.
My excitement.
We're so bad at this.
5.
It's been a while.
5.
Yeah.
It would be higher, but the Steve Trevor thing really hurts it, and I resent what it does to the first movie it might be more than that. I consider the first movie one of my favorite superhero movies, at least of the modern age, and that is in spite of the weaker third act, in particular the end fight, because I think the third act is okay except for that fight. I think it'll be pretty good. But there's just the elephant in the room. Steve Trevor is that elephant. No offense, Chris Pine, but 6 for expectation.
So then we get into the Suicide Squad.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Not a real trailer for this one.
No trailer. We got a visual graphic roll call trailer where they go through about 30 members of the Suicide Squad. And I fancy myself, a knowledgeable DC guy. I think I could like sit down and answer a good hardcore deep cut DC quiz and, you know, get a lot of shit right, but they're pulling some fucking characters out of their fucking asshole. Who the fuck is Savant? Who the fuck is Javelin? Like, who is like TMK or whoever the guy Nathan Fillion is supposed to be playing? And I'm like, well, maybe they're newer DC characters, like they're digging deep into the bench, but they're hitting some newer one-off guys. But a lot of these guys, I don't even fucking know. Even the guy that that John Cena is playing, I forget what his name is. I've heard of that name. I've seen him around, but like some of these characters are really cool. Like Bloodsport pulling some guys off the bench, Polka Dot Man. I think is going to be really
Who is John Cena playing?
He's Ian.
To him as a douchey Captain America.
Yes.
Which to me sounds like Captain America from the Ultimates.
You really hated that Captain America, huh?
Who? How could you not?
Peacemaker is the name.
Yeah, Peacemaker. I've heard the name Peacemaker. I think he's a Superman guy, Superman character, but I don't. Like, I recognize the weird helmet, but I don't really know a lot about the character. And they're pulling a lot of goofy-ass characters out for this. And I don't expect a lot of them to survive, which is the point of the Suicide Squad.
I think that I've liked some of those Star Wars, like, kind of behind-the-scenes kind of teaser looks. And I don't know why. But I see this, and I'm like, you shouldn't have shown any of this. It's way too early. It's literally, like, without seeing it in any kind of finished context, it doesn't look good or exciting. And the only thing that I found exciting about it was listening to James Gunn talk about it and how he was saying that this is the thing that he has, like, poured his heart and soul into more than anything he's ever done. And he's done some pretty significant films recently between the two Guardians of the Galaxy movies. I think the first Guardians of the Galaxy is Paul's favorite out of all the Marvel movies.
I think that Ant-Man probably is the answer.
Ant-Man.
And then
that's his favorite movie, period, right?
Followed closely by Ant-Man and the Wasp, I'm pretty sure. Because they were just funny.
Yeah, they're just good times.
But Guardians, for me, Guardians is one of my favorite movies. I have a lot of warm feelings towards what James Gunn did with that movie. Mm-hmm. And if there's anything that has me optimistic, it's James Gunn being the steward of this film. And I think that there's a lot of good stuff that he could bring to it. I think Suicide Squad was already trying to ape some of that Guardian stuff.
Yeah.
And they missed, so what did they do? We can't beat them.
Ironic with Deadshot in the movie, but...
A man who can't miss, but now he's out.
Again, you could have just had an interview with James Gunn talking about it, because everything that I saw in no way moved the needle at all. I was unfazed by it. It's just too early.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that knowing that I've enjoyed some of those behind-the-scenes things, like from the Star Wars, maybe because some of that stuff felt a little more further along, or it was shot in a way that felt a little bit more purposeful than almost kind of just feels like somebody was getting it all with a camcorder or their iPhone, for those of you that have, you know, lived here in the 21st century.
Yeah, I think that it was just a case of, we have to get some red meat out there for the film fans, and we have to cobble together some stuff because we have a backlog sort of, they have some movies that should have came out this year, and they have some movies that aren't, that their production was halted or slowed. So they're in a weird spot where they have some stuff that we've already been exposed to for a couple of years now with Wonder Woman. But they have to get something new out there. So I guess I suppose.
Would you have been just as satisfied with an interview with James Gunn?
I would have been, but that's what I'm coming to the party for, is his view and his vision of Suicide Squad.
I've
seen Margot Robbie before. I don't care.
Right. She's kind of irrelevant. Honestly, everything that I saw, I wasn't like, oh my God, that's her again. This is great.
But we're not Harley Quinn guys, but I love seeing Idris Elba. I love seeing Nathan Fillion and John Cena. I love seeing bonkers ass characters. I love seeing King Shark be involved and Polka Dot Man.
But none of that really means anything to me until I see it. You know what I mean?
It's just a roster, roll call.
Yeah,
but we haven't seen King Shark realized, but there are some. Because there's some cool Captain Boomerang stuff. There's some cool polka dot stuff. Polka dot man stuff. And they're like...
Is it polka dot or polka dot?
Polka dot.
Okay.
P-O-L.
So it is... When most people refer to that pattern. They say polka dot. But
because they're unintelligent Neanderthals.
Says the werewolf stereo guy. But
yes.
The grammatically correct way to say it is polka dot.
You know why? Sounds, because there's a fucking L in it.
It just sounds...
I'm sorry, Sherlock who?
Holmes. What, did you think I was going to say Holmes? Like I'm a fucking yinzer asshole?
Well, it is Holmes.
It's Holmes.
Isn't it Holmes?
No, it's Holmes.
There's an L.
Because there's a fucking L in it.
Yeah, but I didn't think you said the L.
No. It's not like Ron Mir, where you don't pronounce the H.
Attack him on the... things that we know are canon that he says fucking crazy. Not, don't try to get him with a sneak one. It is Holmes.
Yeah, but I mean, you come at me with werewolf and stereo.
Yeah, like,
I fuck those up all the time. Like, yeah, what are you gonna do? Come at me. Okay, yeah, I fuck those up all the time.
Something
so
that
what?
No one else says. Are we going to the it's gonna say Holmes.
Look,
Just like John Holmes.
Yeah.
The famous
it's According to dictionary.com, it's polka dot. So here, we'll play the audio.
Polka dot. Polka dot.
Yeah,
polka
I hear dot. That. I hear I that hear L in there. Like a motherfucker.
I've never
Kua or Kuh polka.
Well, people, then they shouldn't pronounce the L. I'm
polka dot.
Polka
There's
dot.
An L in there.
I'm excited. I'm pretty excited for Suicide Squad. I think I love James Gunn's Guardians movies. I love the deep, weird ass bench that he's allowed to use. I love the Joel Kinnaman, Viola Davis, and Jai Courtney are coming back. I know Jai Courtney gets beat up in a lot of movie podcasts that I listen to, but I thought his Captain Boomerang was so weird and just funny. Like, I thought he was really good. Is Captain Boomerang. I'm afraid he's going to get killed.
Well, that's what's fun. That's the only thing that I really took away from this was that since there are, I don't know, 20 characters, some of these guys are going to get nuked, which is cool. That is the point of the Suicide Squad.
Right.
So I'm excited that they're actually going all in and
yeah.
There should be some kind of feeling that any of these characters outside of Margot Robbie, let's be serious, could get killed.
Well, I would say Margot Robbie and Idris Elba, they're gonna be fine. But if Nathan Fillion and Pete Davidson get punked out in the first 5 minutes, sure.
In fact, good.
Right. The fact that they're describing it as like a 70s like Vietnam movie with superheroes and some of the footage we saw, I'm like, oh, this might be really weird and different. It might not be exactly what we think is coming from this movie. It might be in like a really weird setting.
Yeah, even the poster is sort of like exploitation style looking.
Let me see the poster.
It's kind of cool. It's got that sort of 70s vibe that you were talking about, Paul.
Yeah, it looks cool.
Yeah, like I think James Gunn he's been on a roll. Maybe this is the one where he falls off the cliff, but I don't think so. I think he's really going to knock this out of the park. I'm pretty excited for this. My excitement is at an 8. Cautiously optimistic.
We're doing polynomics?
Cautiously optimistic.
No trailer.
Because we've seen.
I love how 8
yeah.
is cautiously optimistic.
Because
that's a 6,
we've seen
guys.
A bad.
That is a
we've
6.
We've seen a bad Suicide Squad movie. But yeah, I'm kind of amped for it. Like, I think James Blunt, Jesus. I think James Gunn's gonna do a great job. But I think it's gonna be a bit of an acquired taste. I think I'm really gonna like it. My expectation is an 8, but I think it's probably gonna top out around a 6 at best for a lot of people.
Wait, but for you, you're 8 and 8.
Oh yeah, double eights. The
okay.
old Eric Lindros.
You want me to give polynomics for it?
Yeah,
I wasn't prepared
go.
To go polynomics
you don't,
on
you
it.
You don't have to. If you're not ready, if this is too big of a chore for you, don't feel don't feel like you have to.
Paul, I've never been one to turn down a chore. Well, that's not entirely true at all. But I think my excitement is a 6, cautiously optimistic. And the reason why is because there was no trailer. All this unfinished footage really doesn't excite me yet, because I don't feel like I'm looking at anything yet. And what really excited me was James Gunn's enthusiasm for it. And I think we can all pretty much agree. He seems like the right guy for this property. I do find it bizarre that within, like, what, 5 years, we are making 2 Suicide Squad movies.
With 2 different directors.
With 2 different directors.
Almost 2 different casts.
Right. Meanwhile, other characters in the DC stable haven't, you know, had their silver screen debut yet. It's just weird.
Strike when that Harley iron is hot.
I guess so.
She's big, Ian.
I don't know how hot it is. Tell me how good Birds of Prey did again.
I think it did pretty good. I don't think it did.
It was a bomb.
Was it?
It was a bomb.
Oh, I went to see that this year too.
And you liked it, right?
No.
Ian, what's your expectation and excitement for the Suicide Squad?
Excitement probably a 5. Not a ton to see so far. Don't love the Suicide Squad. They're fine. But I do like James Gunn. So the bulk of that excitement is all in
James Blunt.
James Blunt. Beautiful version of Suicide Squad. So that's my excitement. but I expect it to go probably be two points higher than
the
what
old
I think
James
so.
Gunn swing.
So I'll give it a 7.4. I expect it to probably be better than what I am excited, how my excitement level is right now.
So the last big news we got from DC fandom was a full trailer for The Batman, Matt Reeves and Robert Pattinson's The Batman. I think I really liked it, and I'm having a hard time with it because I don't like the first 2 Christopher Nolan movies are very well done. They're very good movies, but I don't like them because they're so real world. Like, to me, they're Law and Order with Batman in it. There's not enough. There's
fantastical
not enough fantastical
hijinks.
Nature. There's not enough like genre in it for me to really latch onto and be like, oh my god, this is fucking cool. But this the Batman movie looks really dark. As dark as you thought The Dark Knight was.
And it had dark in the title.
This looks even darker. This looks like a horror movie.
So this is the Dark Knight?
This looks like Batman chasing down Silence of the Lambs. Like, it looks fucked up. And, like, I want this movie to lean into this trailer. Like, I don't want the movie to be any less dark than this trailer is. Like, I want blood. I want guts. I want just a fucking stream of bodies dropped all over Gotham, and Batman can't fucking stop it. Like, if the Riddler is Mr. Zazz and Joker together in this fucking movie, I'm all in for it. Like, make it creepy, make it brutal. Like, when Batman beats the fuck out of that motherfucker with the clown makeup on and all of the clown makeup's boys are like, oh fuck, we started something we can't finish. Like, I love that. I love the way it went hardcore. Like, horror genre, let's go. This is Batman in a horror movie. Let's keep going. So,
yeah, that point
I thought
where
this was really cool.
That point where he's beating up that goon, it felt like some of the best parts of both the Nolan movies and the Zack Snyder stuff, with his Zack Snyder's Batman was so brutal. When when I think back to the warehouse scene where he's just kicking the crap out of those goons, and it felt like that only with the real noir drenched stuff that Christopher Nolan did, except it didn't cut away. It wasn't quick cuts. Like, you could see all of those. And it also reminds me a little bit of the Daredevil TV series, the Netflix series. Some of that kind of brutality that I really liked. And I like the Christopher Nolan stuff. So I'm all in with this. This looks pretty cool.
I think so too. To me, it actually looked kind of like a cross between the Chris Nolan stuff and maybe like a David Fincher style movie. It had shades of Seven to me with some of the crime scene stuff, although I don't think we're going to get anything quite as gruesome as some of the crime scenes in Seven. I would love it if we did. I like that there's that serial killer kind of angle. I love the fact that Riddler is leaving these creepy serial killer like greeting cards. It reminds me of what Zodiac did. Zodiac sent greeting, like Halloween greeting cards to people like Melvin Belli and shit. And, you know, they're cards for kids, but when they come from a diabolical person, all of a sudden they become really disturbing. And I love that is like a major part of it. I don't know who's talking. I guess it's the Riddler that's talking, that's reading the riddle to Batman. I don't know. Is that the Riddler we see with the, that's doing the duct taping at the beginning?
It has sort of like a full like mask on.
Yeah.
With,
it kind of looks like it could be Talon. I don't know.
The guys in, it's likely the Riddler. The guys in, this is a green jacket that he has on.
Yeah, it's kind of greenish.
It's all dark, but that's a color scheme. So I'd imagine that's probably the Riddler. I don't know
if I like that look for him, but I like the feel.
It's probably not like his final form, you know.
Maybe. I like the feel that this Riddler is out of all the versions that have ever been on screen, this is the first time that he's not like kind of a campy, silly character.
Yeah.
And there's a, because I feel like they're making parallels to a serial killer. That's really interesting to me.
And Paul Dano looks like a serial killer.
He also looks like the Riddler.
Yeah.
Like traditional, the way we picture the Riddler, throw that costume on Paul Dano. We're like, oh, that's the fucking guy.
Right. He was in Prisoners, the movie directed by Dennis, whatever his last name is.
Raider?
Dennis V. And he is so creepy in that movie. He is so utterly disturbing in that movie. So bring it. Bring it for this thing. I can't wait. If I had any criticism, if I had any, Ian, you know I do.
We're talking about a fictional place, one of the 72 worlds of Mixos. If you had.
I'm pretty down with Batman's costume. I think it looks pretty good seeing it in action.
Yeah, seeing it in like the movie lighting and seeing it move, it looks way cooler than those like teaser images.
I think it's more svelte. It doesn't look like, and there's some armor to it, but it's a little thinner than I expected. Yeah.
I'm
kind of cool.
I'm kind of down with the White Knight Gotham by Gaslight kind of weird collar thing. I do wish that they would split the difference between the amount of face that's showing in this version and the Christian Bale version, where just a little bitty time, like his lips were showing, basically.
Just squeezing his lips out of that hole.
Right. Split the difference. Like,
were they going for more? Because if you're only showing your lips, they got to be smoochable. So they had just crush them in there.
But I will tell you, the costume that I am not very down with is Catwoman's costume.
Catwoman's hoodie with a mouth.
What? Right. It's the mouth hole like... is accidentally up over her eyes. Oh. It is so bad.
Yeah. Like, and, you know, I listened to Fat Man Beyond today, and, like, they were talking about, like, some stuff they read with Matt Reeves and how, like, these are, like, proto versions of what we're going to get. So this is tangentially Batman Year 2, where Penguin, Riddler, Catwoman, they are the earliest versions before we get to, like, the green question mark suit and, you know, the underground ruler that is, you know, the Penguin crime scene and, you know, Catwoman being...
Wait. Why is this Year 2?
That's just, I guess, the time frame that Matt Reeves wanted to...
The level of Batman acumen.
So he's new, but he's not brand new to it.
Yeah.
Okay. So do we think that maybe this little hoodie thing for Catwoman is going to be like an early version of it, and we'll see a more enhanced, like, final version before the end of the movie? Or do you think this is the way that this character is going to look?
I think that's going to be the way that she's going to look.
Yeah. That's brutal. You would think that she would get at least one more power up from this. It's going to be hard to make some toys out of this.
It's like Cyborg in Justice League. Like, and you get to see the real Cyborg costume. Like, they had it made. Like, they digitally had it done. Like, give me more of that. But he's in that fucking clunky, blocky shit. Like, all fucking moving. Then at the end, and I guess the theory was, we're going to do a ton more of these, and you'll get to see that for billions of years. Well, your movie fucking stinks. We got to see it for 20 minutes. Shoot your load right away, because it's Corona, baby. We don't know what opportunities we're going to get. Like, shoot your fucking load immediately. Don't fucking save it, because at some point, you're going to get blue balls, because you're not going to get to use it.
Sage wisdom from... filmmaker and cum extraordinaire. Oh my god.
Yeah, like, I don't want this to be Catwoman's final costume. Like, just make her look like fucking Catwoman, because who knows what we're gonna get after this.
It's like everybody ever since Tim Burton has been too afraid to make Catwoman.
Well, give that Halle Berry movie wasn't. They were like, let's go.
But
let's,
like,
push it.
Yeah, farther. They did. They pushed it, but, like, they clearly never cracked open a comic book, because what the fuck was that?
I feel like Chris Nolan's version came close-ish, but that's part of what I don't like about those Chris Nolan movies. They adhere so close to, what can we do in the real world? How can we make this, like, what do you have in your basement? Like, fuck that. Give me comic book. Give me some weird shit that is just too bizarre for a Law and Order episode. And like the Darwin Cook Catwoman costume, it's pragmatic, it looks realistic, it looks like it can really work. It does have goggles, but I don't have a problem with goggles.
I don't either. There's not a whole lot to her costume, which is uncanny that they're able to fuck it up time and again, but give her the goggles. It's part of what makes her Catwoman at this point, because if you don't do that and you're still trying to make it look like the comic book, you're probably going to end up with a kind of a copy of the Michelle Pfeiffer thing.
I'm not asking you to give me the Tim Sale version with the big whiskers. Like, I don't need whiskers, but, like, make it comic booky. Like the stuff that I really like about, you know, comic book design and, like, these larger-than-life characters, Chris Nolan sucked out of that trilogy. Like, give me a little more of that in this one.
Well, Batman looks comic booky-ish, but Catwoman doesn't at all to me. And honestly, Riddler barely does,
too.
She
almost looks more pedestrian than Anne Hathaway's Catwoman.
She does. Yeah, a ski cap with, like, weird bulges on the sides just ain't enough.
There we go. We got a cat.
Hopefully, Perfect. Hopefully they'll at least call her Catwoman. Chris Nolan wouldn't even call Catwoman Catwoman.
Oh, Captain Real World, unless we're doing Inception Part 2.
It's just like, it's okay to have a character called Batman, and he's allowed to dress like a bat and have bat ears, all that stuff. But it's when you want to have a cat called, or a person called Catwoman.
A cat called woman.
That is unacceptable. That is ridiculous. Paul, give me some Paulonomics for this movie. This 2021 only in theaters release.
I'll tell you what I really liked. I really love the look of Jeffrey Wright's Jim Gordon. Maybe it's just the glasses and the mustache, and maybe you put glasses and the mustache on anybody and it works.
And they become Jim Gordon. Yeah.
Maybe that's the new Groucho Marx.
If only Tom Selleck would wear glasses, he'd be Jim Gordon.
His mustache is too robust. It's too thick. But goddamn, does Jeffrey Wright look?
He looks good.
Built for the role.
He does.
He showed up in that trailer, and I was like,
Jim Gordon immediately.
Mm-hmm, he's the Jim Gordon.
Yep.
I'm having a hard time with this because I generally beat up those Chris Nolan movies for being too realistic, too real world. And I feel like this has a lot of those aspects.
It feels like it takes it even a step further, only down the murder ramp.
Yeah, right. But that's where it breaks off for me. I feel like it takes it down like realistic row. But it dips into the genre of it, and now it's like we're beyond like a superhero movie or comic book movie. Now like this is like a thriller suspense horror movie. And I'm like, oh, I really like this. So I wanna give my excitement. I think my excitement's at 9. I'm not even gonna fuck around. Like I'm pretty amped after this first trailer. This looks fucking cool. The way he beats the fucking shit out of that dude. I don't even mind Gerard Way ass, black eyeshadow, you know, emo Batman when he takes the cowl off, the long hair.
Yeah, like I wish
he's
his hair wasn't
beleaguered by
long
getting
like
notes
that
from the Riddler. Yeah, I mean he doesn't look like traditional. Well, I was gonna say he doesn't look like traditional Bruce Wayne. When this dude walks into a room, everyone wants to fuck his brains out. But that is Rob Pattinson, and that dude can pretty much do whatever he wants. So maybe this is 2020-2021 version of someone everyone wants to just destroy their fucking pussy on when he walks into a room.
It's also after he's on the job there too. It's not like he just cleaned
took his hat
up.
Off. Right.
He was like, I was chasing this person with puffs in their head. And I can't catch him.
I don't mean just the scene with the eyeshadow. He's in like he's not in a courtroom scene, but like when the Cadillac, you know, when the Escalade, you know, almost hits a girl, like he's in just regular like, oh, I'm in like the court office something. He has no makeup, but he just looks like, I don't know what the fuck it's called. Is it the law building, the court building? What are we calling it? The court justice building?
I love
the courthouse.
I love hearing your brain malfunction. It's pretty cool.
It's called the courthouse. Maybe he's probably,
you know, law, four rooms, a roof. Holy fucking shit, Paul. So he's in the law place, right?
He's in the place they make
doing
the
talky talk.
He saves a girl from getting run over by an Escalade, but he looks normal, and he looks normal in that scene. My excitement is at a 9. Like my expectation is a 7. I think it's something's gonna happen in this movie that's gonna. I'm gonna be like, it was pretty good. That was all right. Like, I don't think it's going to live up to what I want this movie to really be.
I'm pretty excited, too. I'll give it an 8. It's a little tempered, probably, for some of the stuff that you're referring to. And it's hard to... It's going to be hard to meet my expectation of a what a good Batman movie is. Character is beloved by all of us, and there have been great versions of this character, great and very different versions. So there are some avenues available for it to go down and have a really special kind of experience. So I'm excited. This whole serial killer murder stuff was not the way that I thought that they would go, and it's definitely a cool path to choose. But my expectations, it's going to be an 8. I think that it's probably going to meet my excitement. So 8 and an 8. Matt?
I'm really excited to see the Penguin. I want to see what he looks like in this world.
Don't they show him?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's Colin Farrell and an ungodly amount of makeup that he's unrecognizable.
He is unrecognizable.
Oh. Oh, that's Penguin. Oh. I was hoping
for a
nose.
Give the Oscar to the makeup team immediately.
Didn't.
But that's what
that
happens whenever you cast somebody that does not look like the Penguin.
Well, there's a fat guy with a beard talking outside of City Hall or something.
Yeah.
The law room box.
And for a second I was like, is that Jonah Hill? And then I was like, oh no, he was supposed to be the Penguin, but then he wasn't. But I'm like, well, why did that guy get so much screen time in the trailer? Even if it was, you know, 3 seconds, it's a lot of screen time in a 2-minute trailer. Keep going, Matt.
Now I know what he looks like. So if that's the Riddler that we see in the movie, it looks kind of cool, even though I'm not sure I dig that for the Riddler, but I like the vibe. The feeling that I get from this trailer, if this movie is going to be like what they're making me think it is in terms of the vibe of the movie and the tone and the dark aspect of it, easily the darkest Batman that we've gotten yet on the silver screen, that's totally what I'm all about. And that makes me pretty excited for it. So I'm going to say this could be a midnight premiere kind of excitement. Although they don't really do those anymore because they'll do like the day before at like 7:45.
Yeah, we go happy hour premiere.
Right. But I assuming, you know, I feel confident that I won't die if I try to go to the theater, I will very likely go to it at that early showing. So that would put me at about a 10 for excitement. I can't think of another movie that is in production or anything that would have me as excited as this. I think this looks really cool. Seven vibes, serial killers, just weird dark shit. There's a lot to like, in spite of the fact that Catwoman's little hoodie is ridiculous. So with that being said, my expectation is a 9 because I'm going to be a little disappointed on maybe some
of
the
visuals. Your expectations?
My expectations are a 9. I'm very excited to see it because I think this looks great. I don't think my excitement will be met. I do think that it'll be great, but it's not going to be a 10. It'll be a 9. But I'm really excited to see it.
Big high numbers for the Batman. Yeah, it looks cool. I love dipping into.
Love the logo at the end, the way it builds at the end, and the weird Giacchino score.
It's really neat with the like the ears on the A of the second A of Batman. Like,
yeah.
Was there any score in there? I thought it was that
that Nirvana song.
Well, it is. Yeah, at the end, it's also the thing that they played during the costume reveal thing that they did months ago. Mm-hmm. And apparently that's the Giacchino score. theme that we're going to get out of it. It's not real hummable, but it's kind of distinct, and it seems to fit the visuals pretty well in terms of just creating and really enhancing that atmosphere. That, like, this movie has that so, like, down. So I think it looks really good.
Looks pretty neat.
Paul, you know what we didn't talk about? The Snyder Cut.
We didn't, and I wasn't going to, because we are well long in the tooth tonight. So maybe next week we'll dig into the Snyder Cut, and we're going to have plenty of time to dig into the Snyder Cut, because we're going to get 4-hour-long episodes of the Snyder Cut when it premieres on HBO Max. So don't worry, McSauce fans. A lot of Snyder Cut talk coming up for you, but that's going to do it for us tonight. Big DC fandom, not fan zone like I called it earlier. Big DC fandom talk tonight. Thank you for sticking with us. My name is Paul McGinty.
Ian Sharpley.
Matt Cassell.
We'll see you next time.